Hi, my name is Dave. I have a new life in Christ, and I am in recovery from PTSD, pornography, and seeking to find comfort through alcohol. Hey, it's good to be with you tonight. So glad to be with you, especially as we celebrate this special week, Holy Week, as we look forward to Easter on Sunday and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. I was running my very first marathon quite a few years ago, and I hit what runners call the wall at about mile 20. If you don't know this, a marathon is 26.2 miles, and I got to 20 and my body just kind of quit, and I thought about giving up. I was cramps both in my hamstrings and my quads, and I was dehydrated, and the day was getting warmer. My energy and my desire to finish were lessening, and I never forget hearing my dad's voice from the crowd yelling, "Keep going," and I suddenly realized that no matter how badly I wanted to quit, my dad wasn't going to let me do that. He was going to follow me those last 6 miles, and if need be, he was going to come out and walk me across the finish line, maybe even carry me if he had to. Now, in many ways, our faith, our lifetime of walking in relationship with God through Jesus is like a marathon. And maybe where you are tonight as a follower of Jesus is you're struggling to hold on. Maybe you're like me at mile 20. You think, I don't know that I can keep going. I'm not sure if I can make it through today, much less through tomorrow. How am I going to get through this? I've got really good news for you tonight. I want to let you know that God our Father is able to secure our faith and see us through to the very end. We've been talking about the salvation we have. We've titled this series, So Great a Salvation. We're really focusing in on all that God is for us in Jesus. And I want to give you a simple definition of a theological term. The term is perseverance. It's this idea that God sees us start to finish through our faith relationship with him. And let me give you this definition. What do I mean when I say perseverance? I simply mean this. God wholly secures his people by protecting their faith in Christ. Let me say that again. God wholly, completely, entirely secures his people by protecting their faith in Christ. If you have a Bible, let me encourage you to turn to Romans 8. We're going to begin in verse 31. If you didn't bring a Bible, don't worry. We'll project the text. If you need a Bible, let us know. We'll be glad to give you one. I want to show you from this text three ways in which not only is God for us as we run this race of faith, but God is with us. So, Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also not with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Here's where we're at. Here's what's going on in this text. We are talking about the context of suffering as followers of Jesus, and we get to this point where the Apostle Paul, as he pins these words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, asks a really important question. The idea is, if God is for us, who can be against us? What's the obvious answer? No one. No one can stand against us. And so there's three different ways in which God is for us and with us that I want to unpack from this text. I want to start here with the first one. The first two you'll see are those of us and for those of us who are struggling tonight with sin. Maybe you're struggling with an issue. It's probably why you're here and you're thinking, I'm making some progress, but every now and then I have a relapse. I'm not where I want to be. How in the world can I be secure in my relationship with God? I want to give you two reasons that you can be secure. And then maybe you're here tonight and you're suffering. You're suffering to the extent where you feel that God has abandoned you. Maybe he's not with you anymore, and I want to give you some assurance. But the first thing I want you to think about is this. God has declared us righteous once and for all. Isn't that good news? God has declared us righteous once and for all. Who can condemn us then? Who can stand before God and make any sort of accusation against us when God himself has declared us righteous once and for all? And the news gets even better. Our declaration of righteousness is not based on what we've done. It's based entirely on what Jesus has done. In other words, we're not righteous because we're sinless. We're righteous because Jesus is sinless. We're not righteous because we've kept the law. Jesus kept the law. His performance is credited to our account. His perfect life, he lived the life you and I could never live. His substitutionary death on the cross, he died in our place. And his ultimate resurrection that we celebrate this week are enough that God can look at us and take our sin and credit it to Jesus' account and take Jesus' righteousness and give it to us as a free gift. You're righteous before God tonight. If you have turned from sin and trusted in Jesus and you're relying upon him, then I got great news for you. You're righteous. No one can condemn you. No one can condemn you at all. If that's not good enough news, look at the next couple of verses. Back to Romans 8, verse 34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Not only so the Father said, we're righteous once and for all, forensically in the court of law declared righteous for all time. Jesus, who died for us, the very one who paid the penalty for our sin and rose from the dead, is at the right hand of God. Now, when you see that, I want you to understand exactly what that means. If you are a king, if you are a ruler, your right hand is your seat of power. Jesus is in the place of power. And the image here is he's whispering into the Father's ear. And what is he doing as he whispers into the Father's ear? He's interceding on our behalf. He's advocating for us. Here's the second reason tonight, if you are struggling with an issue, and we all are, here's the second reason tonight we can be secure in our relationship with God. Jesus is advocating for us right now. You thought about that? Right now. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, praying for you, interceding for you, advocating for you as you go through region tonight. I'd love to pray for you, and I will pray for you, but someone more powerful than me is praying for you tonight. His name is Jesus. Anybody in the room old enough to remember the O.J. Simpson trial? Remember those days? Remember we watched him drive all around L.A. in his white Bronco, and the trial finally came? I don't know about you, but I was fascinated with Johnny Cochran. Johnny Cochran, one of the most amazing defense attorneys that's ever lived in U.S. history, and I mean, the suits he wore, and the way he communicated, so quick on his feet, and His words were rhythmic, and it was as if he was an artist up there. And I remember watching that trial thinking, if I ever get in trouble, man, I'd like to hire Johnny Cochran. You and I are in trouble, aren't we, in our sin? And yet, we have an advocate. We have someone legislating on our behalf. His name is Jesus. He's the very one who died for us, rose from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father, and even now, he's interceding for you tonight. The news gets better. Now, for those of you who are suffering tonight, those of you that are here that said, the things that have been done to me are unspeakable, the pain that I'm going through right now, maybe it's a relational pain, maybe it's physical pain, maybe it's, they're so great, it's so intense that I begin to believe that God has abandoned me. Let me read these next verses for you. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you're suffering tonight, if you're struggling tonight, if your existence becomes so painful, you begin to think that somehow, some way, God has left you, God has abandoned you. If you have a faith relationship with God through Jesus Christ, here's the good news I have for you. Jesus loves us and will be with us forever. You and I are in Christ. We're united to him. He is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Right here tonight, we are experiencing the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ indwelling us, and he never will leave us. And while he's with us, according to this text, he loves us. He's for us. You're never alone. If you have a faith relationship with God and Jesus tonight, I want you to know that that relationship is secure. God is going to see you through. So what do we do with this? How does this apply to our recovery? What are we supposed to do? Here's what I want to tell you to do tonight. One takeaway tonight, it's really simple. Ready? So profound. Don't give up. There it is. Don't give up. Hold on. Hang in there. Don't give up. God has you. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, God has you. He will see you through. No matter how bleak, no matter how dark, no matter how depressing it looks tonight, don't give up. Three areas I don't want you to give up in tonight. First is, don't give up on doing your daily work. I want you to think about, if you're not there yet, it's okay. Preview, spoiler alert, when you get to step 10, we're going to talk about continuing. In other words, the things we've done in steps 1 through 9, we're going to continue through the rest of our lives, even if we're not coming to Regen anymore. The patterns that we've seen here are biblical principles, and they're going to help us continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus. Don't give up on your daily work. Why is that? Because a relationship with God is like any other relationship. The way that we grow close to God is through conversation. As you and I open up the Bible, and there's so much Bible that you have in your daily work here in Regen, God speaks to you. You're hearing his voice? You're hearing him speak through the Bible? Are you hearing him say, these are the things that are true, these are the things that are false, more important than anything? Do you hear him say, I love you, I've made you for my glory, I want you to live for me, and I'm going to give you the grace to do that? I've been married now for 36 years, and I feel in many ways that I'm closer to my wife than ever before. And a simple reason for that is we've had a lot of conversations. We talk daily, and the way that we grow together is through daily conversations. As you and I read the Bible, God speaks to us, then how do we respond? We respond to him in prayer. We speak to him. Share your heart with him tonight. He cares for you. He's eager to hear. Here's the second thing I don't want you to give up on. Don't give up on being here on Monday nights. Don't give up. Keep coming. If you're here for the first time tonight, I'm so glad you're here. You've made a great decision. I know it's difficult. You might not even be able to see beyond tomorrow. Come back next week. And after you come back next week, come the week after that. If you're near the end, don't stop coming. You're almost there. You're almost like, don't give up on Monday nights. Come to large group. Don't you love singing songs of worship? Doesn't that just orient your mind and your heart in the right place of where we need to be tonight? And then go to your small group and enjoy your time there in step group. If nothing else, come here because I want you to come here because I really like being around you. I can't wait to wake up on Monday mornings. I love Sundays, don't get me wrong. I love being with all the people of God, but I got to tell you, of all the people of God here in this church, you're my favorite people. I don't know if it's just we have a lot in common, but I love being here because I need you. And it's not just the things that we're talking about here on stage and the way that we're working through our curriculum together. It's the side conversations. God has wired us in a way so that we grow together when we meet and we talk to one another. So don't stop coming here on Monday night. Last thing, don't give up on each other. Don't give up on each other. In just a couple weeks, we're going to celebrate the commencement of 3 groups. And I've been through several commencements now. And inevitably, every time we have a commencement, someone will stand up in a testimony time. You know what that person will say? Thank you for not giving up on me. They'll say, I know there were times where maybe a leader was frustrated with me or a fellow participant was not seeing things the way I see them, but thank you for not giving up on me. You not giving up on me helped me to stay the course, and now that I've stayed the course, I'm ready to not give up on someone else myself. I'm here tonight as a follower of Jesus because I had a youth pastor who didn't give up on me. I went to church and I was that kid who went for 2 years and was disinterested and did everything I could to get out of going to church and was about to ditch out on the youth retreat, and he called my parents. I didn't appreciate that at the time. He called my parents and said, hey, David hasn't signed up. They signed me up. I went, and there I met Jesus. Let's not give up on each other. I want you to be encouraged tonight, no matter where you're at in your faith journey with God through Jesus. He will see you through.